Manuscript Releases, Volume 3, Numbers 162 to 209. M.R., Number 171. Further materials for the book I'd like to ask Sister White. The brethren think we ought to have a little house put up. We pay now $1.50 per week for rent, and have scarcely any conveniences at that. Have to go a great distance for water, have no good shed for our wood. We put a few boards up at our own expense just to cover our wood. We shall make a beginning, cannot tell how we shall succeed. May the Lord guide us in all our undertakings, is my prayer. Today, while praying over the matter, duty seemed to demand I should go to your grandfather. I have prepared you, Edson, comfortable clothing for winter, which I send to you by Elder Loughborough. I hope they will give you as much pleasure in wearing them as I have taken pleasure in making them for you. I have sat up late and arisen early, before anyone was astir, to work upon them. Prayers that you may be clothed with Christ's righteousness are stitched into these garments. We witnessed on our journey the most magnificent sunset we ever looked upon. The setting sun threw its golden rays upon the heavens, flecking the blue and white sky with its golden tints, illuminating the heavens. No artist could produce so grand a picture. We have seen the wonders of God in a gorgeous rainbow spanning the heavens. The reflection of the gold, purple, and silver upon the green mountains was a lovely sight. The power and wisdom of God can be seen in His works on every hand. We want to see you very much, but it is 8 weeks yet before we shall return home, a long time to be away from my children. In the last box we sent to Battle Creek were some little trinkets for you and a little box of candy. You must eat it only when Jenny thinks it is best. Eat a very little at a time. I suppose you visit Grandpa and Grandma every day and have a good time talking to them. I have just laid down my child a few moments to write you a word. Are you good children? Do you keep the commandments of God and love and obey your parents? If you do, you have the promise of entering the holy city where all is harmony and joy. You must pray to God much that He would accept you and keep you from the pestilence and sickness that is abroad in the land. God loves the young if their hearts are turned unto Him, and He loves to bless them. I am now on my way to visit Henry and present to him his little brother. I hope you will be good children. Love God. Speak the truth at all times. Be obedient to your parents, and then God will be pleased with you, smile upon, and bless you. Be good. Be good. In haste and love. 2, 1859, page 1. To dear children, Gilbert and Deborah, Collins, circa 1849 to 50. We very much regret being separated from you so far, but thus it is, and may God fit you and us to bear the affliction like Christians. To us there is no place like home. Yet if it is in the order of God for us to be thus separated, let us be cheerful, be reconciled. You can help us bear the inconveniences we may here meet by a right course of action on your part. Be careful to cultivate true politeness, which is true courteousness. Kindness and love for others will win for you quite a satisfaction and consciousness of right doing. You will also gain respect from others. Edson, my boy, seek in the strength of God to overcome your passion for reading storybooks. The time you spend in reading, devote to study. Make your time tell somewhere. Edson, strive to set an example worthy of imitation. Love Willie. Be very kind to him, love to please him, and do not leave too many burdens upon his young shoulders. Don't expect much of him. Set him a good, noble example. Willie, love Edson. You two brothers should love one another deeply, fervently, and should be ever studying to make one another happy. May God bless you is our daily prayer. I will try to write you amid the jostling of the cars. We are on our way to visit your Aunt Sarah, who is very low with consumption. Poor sufferer. We have hastened to her as soon as we could after the close of the Olcott meeting. We are called to comfort her in the conflict she must have in giving up her children, five in number, the eldest 1 year and a half younger than Willie. Dear children, seek to be Christians. Seek to possess the graces of humility. Don't seek for pomp, for show. Lay aside everything of foolishness, for all this is evidence of a shallow character, of a superficial mind. A thorough, substantial character looks above parade in dress, in deportment, in actions. Keep learning, my children. You will never be too old to learn, and never old enough to graduate. Ever keep the position of learners. Be self-reliant, yet teachable. Realize your individual responsibility, yet at the same time, encourage a habit of looking after others' happiness, of seeking to do others good. This was the work of our divine Lord. Jesus came not to be ministered unto, but to minister to others. If we would labor to imitate Christ, we could not but be happy. There is much that I might write, but I cannot at this time. We give ourselves to the work of God, and hope you, our children, will help us in the laborious, self-denying work before us. Don't fail to pray, to keep in a praying mood, and you will be fortified against Satan's temptations. Yesterday, we put in a box some things for Battle Creek. In the basket in a small box, I put two shirts. By changing the necks, they will be right for you. In love to you, my dear children. We have closed our third camp meeting. We were well cared for on the ground. We had a small tent, carpeted and swept clean each day. Our friends at Monroe were attentive to all our wants. They furnished us two bedsteads and bedding. Our table was set in our tent and well furnished through the meeting. Sister Gillette was as a mother to us, kind, thoughtful, and ever willing to do all she could for our rest and comfort. Tuesday, just as the sun was setting, Brother Chase hired a livery team, and we had a pleasant ride through the city of Monroe. 16 or 17 years ago, we labored in a large tent in Monroe. Willie was then a small boy. Brother Sperry and his wife labored in the tent at this meeting. Byron Sperry and Willie were then small boys of about 4 years of age. They were playmates and dressed nearly alike. Now these baby playmates have grown to manhood. Monroe was a very small place 17 years ago. It has grown so fast that I could scarcely recollect I had ever been in the place before. We were well entertained at Mr. Chase's. All of us who lodged in the house Tuesday night were from New England. We breakfasted at a table spread with New England fare. We parted with our friends in the morning to go on our way to the next camp meeting. All our leisure moments were occupied in writing. After the camp meeting closed, we had to take hold of our writing again. The conductor tells us there is beautiful scenery before us. We find it even so. Nature seems fresh-robed in her natural, lovely dress of green. God has given to us tokens of His love. Every tree, every shrub and bud and blooming flower tells us God is love. We look up through the things of nature, which God has hung before our senses in His created works, and we adore the Giver. 19A, 1875, pages 1, 2, 4. To dear children Edson and Emma, June 24, 1875. I received your pleasant letter, and will try to write you a few lines in reply. I hope that you will keep a diary of the experiences that come to you that are worth remembering. This may, in the future, be of use to you. I feel a deep interest in you. Keep your heart stayed ever upon God. We may learn a lesson from the work of the farmer in cultivating the field. He must cooperate with God. His part is to prepare the ground and plant the seed, at the right time and in the right way. God gives the seed life. He sends the sunshine and the showers, and the seed springs up. If the farmer fails to do his part, the sun may shine, the dew and the showers may fall upon the soil, but there will be no harvest. So, in the cultivation of character, you must cooperate with God. His word directs you to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You have a part to act, and as you act this part, God will surely cooperate with you. We have been passing over the plains. Nothing of interest to be seen but a few herds of buffalo in the distance and an antelope now and then. From Cheyenne, the engines toiled up, up the summit against the most fearful wind. Two iron horses are slowly dragging the cars up the mountain.
Fears are expressed of danger because of the wind in crossing the Dale Creek Bridge, 650 feet long and 126 feet high. This trestle bridge looks like a light, frail thing to bear so great weight. But fears are not expressed because of the frail bridge, but in regard to the tempest of wind, so fierce that we fear the cars may be blown from the track. In the providence of God, the wind decreased. Its terrible wail is subdued to pitiful sobs and sighs, and we passed safely over the dreaded bridge. We reached the summit. The extra engine was removed. No steam is required at this point to forward the train, for the downgrade is sufficient for us to glide swiftly along. As we pass on down an embankment, we see the ruins of a freight car that had been thrown from the track. We are told that the freight train broke through the bridge 1 week ago. 2 hours behind this train came the passenger cars. Had this accident happened to them, many lives must have been lost.
August 11th, 1885, en route to Europe. The sea is boisterous. The waves rise high in green and blue and white spray, mingled, and dash with force against the porthole. If the porthole were open, buckets full of water would dash in upon us. The boat rocks fearfully, and every timber seems to be strained and shocked. There are but few upon deck. The deck is wet. Chairs are tied with ropes. Ropes are stretched from point to point that those who walk on deck may take hold of the ropes to keep from falling. There is indeed a heavy roll. I cannot lie on the sofa. Trunks are rolling about in the staterooms. Everything that is not secured by ropes is dancing about. I have precious seasons of silent prayer. The Lord Jesus seems very near to me. I am so thankful that I can trust in my Savior at all times. August 12th. We all rested well last night. None were seasick. I was glad to see the light of day. The water is much calmer. It is foggy, and the fog whistle is bellowing out its warning signal that vibrates through every nerve of the body. August 17th. I slept but little last night. The fog whistle kept up its mournful warning all night. I thought of ourselves being on the broad water. A little atom. How easy for us to be swallowed up in the hungry waters. I can only look to God and trust in Him. Arrived Liverpool. August 18th, 1885. It is a beautiful day. We arose from our berths, leaving them not to enter them again. We have spent many pleasant days and nights in our stateroom. It seems like home. 16A, 1885, pages 12 to 14. The Journey to Europe, Diary, July 7th to September 24th, 1885. We labored very hard. You may inquire, why did you labor so hard? The love of Christ constrained us. This is the only proper answer we can give. Souls for whom Christ died seemed of such inexpressible worth that self was forgotten. Ease, pleasure, and health even were made secondary. God has called us and commissioned us to do an important work. This work must be done where it will be appreciated. May God help us to work in humility, trusting in Him to give the increase. Your father and myself took the train westward. We changed cars. We had to wait 3 hours. The depot was small and not well ventilated. Two respectable-looking ladies seemed quite at home. They took out their pipes and commenced smoking. This was a little more than we could well endure. We found to our joy that the settees were movable.
We took a couple of these out upon the platform, where there was pure air to feed our lungs. We here spread out our bread and fruit, which had been provided for us by our friends. We enjoyed our luncheon. Elder Andros took us in an automobile to visit the several churches and the Bible Workers' Home in Los Angeles. We did not get out of the conveyance, but stopped and spoke to some of those engaged in the work. It was a very pleasant trip. The automobile was an easy-riding machine that did not jolt me. When we were ready to return home, a brother who is always ready to place his automobile at our disposal took us several miles through the city, Nashville, Tennessee, to the station and saw us on board the train for St. Helena. Willie and his family are well. His twin boys are busy workers. They have recently purchased an automobile, and yesterday I took my first ride in it. It is the easiest machine that I have ever ridden in. I have a deep interest in my native state. I am looking forward to the time when I shall be able to make the journey to Portland. I shall hope to have strength to visit you during the coming summer season. We are to labor earnestly and continuously, working, to bring souls to take a decided stand for the truth.
My interest in the work in Portland is still as deep as ever, but I find it impossible to make the visit there that I have looked forward to so long. I cannot leave my work here until the book on Old Testament history is ready for the publishers. I would be very pleased to see you, Elder Haskell, and the workers, and to join in lifting the standard of truth in Portland, Maine. Christ died that he might save souls. We should consider no sacrifice too great in order to cooperate with him in this work. I hope you will not eat much sweet. Your skin is in a bad condition. You must tell Anna to get fruit instead of molasses. Don't stint yourself on fruit. Apples at $1 a bushel are not high and are more beneficial to health. Let two or three students meet together and ask God to help them to be missionaries in this school, a blessing and a help to their fellow students. When you rise in the morning, kneel at your bedside and ask God to give you strength to fulfill the duties of the day and to meet its temptations. Ask him to help you to bring into your work Christ's sweetness of character. Ask him to help you to speak words that will draw those around you nearer to Christ. We thank the Lord that several of our workers have given themselves as missionaries to go to different countries outside our land. Our prayers shall follow you wherever you go. Released February 10th, 1965.